The Adventures of Madame Strange. This story is called The Opera. This is part two. Iris had gone to the yard sale because she had heard rumors about the old mansion. The deceased owner had been an eccentric who kept to himself. Neighbors suspected he did weird things, but nobody could specify what they were. People believed the rumors anyway. Iris didn't believe or care. She liked eccentric people because they were often more interesting than normal people were. When she saw the announcement that the mansion had been sold and everything inside was for sale, she went just to see what was there. Iris wasn't certain what she would find, but felt drawn there. Most of what was left was junk. The antiques, valuable books, plates, silverware, rugs, and art had already been sold off. Only the dregs remained. Most people left the sale without exploring the items. There was a woman sitting in a lawn chair whom Iris assumed was there to collect money. The woman didn't look up when Iris said hello. Iris noticed an old trunk. It opened easily. She looked inside. It was filled with sheet music. This is my kind of trunk, she thought. Much of the music was from old popular songs. She didn't recognize the titles and didn't open any of the sheet music to read the lyrics. Iris plowed deeper. She spotted a notebook and pulled it out. There was no title on the leather cover. She hoped it might be an unknown manuscript by a famous composer. Wouldn't that be something, she thought excitedly. Iris opened it and read the title. Demeter and Persephone, an opera in three acts. Iris had never heard of it. Now I know why I came today, she thought excitedly. It might not be famous, but it's an opera. She turned the page. There was a brief overture. Iris read the musical notes. The simplicity of the melodies impressed her. She had no idea who wrote it, but it seemed worth exploring. She went on to Act One, Descent. Iris skipped over Zeus and Hades' duet and found Demeter's aria, She of the Grain, a few pages later. Iris read it, enthralled. The music soared and the lyrics rang with ancient poetry. She of the Golden Double Axe, she who glories in the harvest. Persephone appeared a few pages later, painting flowers. Her aria that described the allure of the narcissus flower almost broke Iris's heart. I don't know who wrote this, but I have to share it and see that it gets sung, she thought. Iris took the manuscript to the bored-looking woman and asked the price. Is that from the old trunk? The woman asked. Iris nodded. You can have the whole thing for $10. But I just want this one. I don't like the others. This is kind of beautiful. It's an opera, you see, and I'm an opera singer. The proprietor didn't care what Iris was. Okay, just take it then. Cost you $5. Iris whipped out her money, paid the woman, and walked to her car excitedly. Wait till the opera company sees this, she thought. What a find! A black SUV drove up just as Iris pulled away in her little blue Toyota. A tall woman got out. She was dressed in black and wore a black veil. The yard sale proprietor assumed the woman was coming from a funeral. Must have been a shitty funeral, the woman thought. Maybe she needs a diversion. The mysterious woman examined a few items and eased herself toward the old trunk. She looked around before she approached it. No one cares about this old thing, she thought. It's mine. She tried to lift the trunk, but it was too heavy. Her arm went up. The driver's door opened and a short chauffeur stepped out. He was young and muscular, and the yard sale proprietor eyed him appreciatively. He walked toward the mysterious woman. She pointed to the trunk. He hefted it with a grunt and followed her toward the proprietor. How much is this? The woman in black asked. The whole thing's 10, the proprietor replied, still eyeing the chauffeur. Is everything in it? Depends on what you mean by everything. Did anybody buy anything from it? The woman pressed. Oh, yeah. That lady that just left. You passed her as she was driving away. What did she buy? Some book, the proprietor said. I didn't look at it. Did it have a cover? The stranger asked. Plain brown, bigger than a regular book, looked like something somebody would draw or write in. Did you get her name? I didn't need her name, lady, the annoyed woman replied. Just her money. Okay, That's it then. Come on, Carl. The trunk, ma'am? Carl asked. He hadn't looked at the proprietor even once. Drop it. We don't want it. Carl dropped the trunk where he stood. Hey, you pick that up. You pick it up, the strange woman said. She and Carl hurried back to their car. Carl started the SUV. Did you see that other car? The woman asked. I noticed it, ma'am. Do you think you can find it again? I can try, Carl replied. The black SUV peeled out of the driveway and drove away at top speed. Carl spotted Iris's car 2 minutes later. Just get close enough to read the license plate, the woman told him. We don't need to tip her off that we're following her. Carl read the license plate aloud. The mysterious woman sent a text. Okay, turn here. Let's go back and wait at the house. We've made some progress today, although it was not what I had hoped for. In the hotel room, Iris continued her tale. I took the opera home and read most of it in one sitting. It just kept getting better, and I knew others would like it as much as I did. I called Jack and told him about it. He seemed interested, although he wasn't as enthusiastic as I thought he should be. He told me to bring it to him in a few days so he could play some of it and see if it was worth pursuing. I got the feeling he suspected I wrote it and was trying to foist it off on him. So far, this seems harmless, Bianca commented. But exciting for you as an opera diva. Iris smiled. I'm hardly a diva, Bianca, but I love opera. Don't believe her, Molly disagreed. She has a wonderful voice and audiences love her. But I'll never perform at the Met or La Scala or in London. Is that what you truly want? Bianca asked. Iris looked at her. She knew Bianca had asked because of Molly. I want to continue doing what I love and being with the daughter I love. Opera and Molly are my two loves. They're equal, but Molly comes first. Well said, Bianca replied. Thanks, Mom. Thank you for trusting me, Molly. I'm sorry I put you through this week, but you did what I always told you to do. You contacted Bianca, and now she's here. But I don't know why I'm here, Bianca said. I don't know anything about opera. I don't think this is about opera, Iris explained. It's about something much bigger. I still don't understand, Bianca replied. Maybe you will when I tell you what happened next, Iris said. 2 days after Iris bought the manuscript, she received a phone call from a man who told her he was an opera impresario and wanted to buy it. He offered to pay whatever she asked. Iris turned him down, politely. He hung up. 2 hours later, she received another call from a different man. She listened to his plea and hung up, again. That night, there was a third call. Molly heard her mother talking loudly. Iris didn't mention the call when they were getting ready for bed. The next morning, Iris's doorbell rang. She asked through the intercom what the visitor wanted. I will pay you whatever you want for Demeter and Persephone, a woman said. I'm sorry, but it's not for sale. Everything's for sale. Name your price. I found it, Iris replied. I'm studying it. I plan to show it to others and maybe have a concert performance. But it doesn't belong to you, the woman protested. It does now. But you didn't write it. It's unsigned, Iris replied. No one knows who wrote it. I won't claim I did. But I found it, and I'm keeping it. I know who the composer was, the woman said. You do? Iris asked excitedly. Who was it? Let me in and I'll tell you about him. Iris's story surprised Molly and Bianca. Of course, I had to let her in, but I hid the manuscript before I did, just in case. I hadn't made any copies of it yet. So what else did you learn? Bianca asked. She was evasive. I didn't even get to see her face. She was dressed in black and wore a black veil, as if she was in mourning. She wouldn't give me the composer's name, but that it was somebody in her family. She told me I wouldn't recognize it because he never composed anything else. Did you believe her? Bianca asked. I didn't care. I wasn't going to fall for the family argument. It was mine. It was beautiful and deserved to be heard. That was all I knew. So what happened? Bianca asked. The mysterious visitor took out her checkbook. Name your price, she commanded. Iris didn't say anything. Surely, as a poor, underappreciated opera singer, you need money. I can give you whatever you want. I don't sing for the money, Iris said. I do it for the love of art. The woman smirked. Oh, an artist. Well, then you ought to respect the art created by others. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to my family. Please sell it to me. "It's not for sale," Iris said. "Please leave." "You'll regret this," the woman replied angrily. "My next offer won't be so generous." She turned around and hurried out. Iris hoped she had seen the last of the woman. "But you hadn't?" Bianca asked. "Well, yes, I didn't see her again, but other stuff started happening."
"What kind of stuff?"
"I thought I was being followed. I noticed people on the street looking up at our apartment. I worried we weren't safe."
"Well, were you?"
"I don't know, Bianca, but I didn't take any chances. I hid the manuscript."
"Where is it now?" Bianca asked.
"It's still in the apartment, but no one could find it no matter how hard they searched. That's why you're here. I can't go back for it, and I wouldn't send Molly back. We're safe here, but no one knows you. If anyone saw you entering the building, they would think nothing of it. You could rescue it and bring it back here. That is, if you'll help."
Bianca smiled.
"Of course I'll help," she said. "Just don't ask me to sing." End of part two.
Thanks for listening. This material is copyrighted, all rights reserved.